Welcome to Today on Broadway for Tuesday, May 17th, 2016. I'm Broadway World's Matt Tamanini.
And I am Broadway Star's James Marino.
Guys, we really want to thank you for all the support you've been giving us as we've been trying to figure out what we're doing with Broadway Radio and our next steps. One of the best ways that you can support us is by giving us your feedback on iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcast. Leave a rating and review for Broadway Radio. That is one of the best ways that people can find our shows. Once we keep expanding over the next few weeks, hopefully soon, right, James?
Absolutely.
All right, once we expand, that'll be a great way for people to find all of the shows that are part of the Broadway Radio Network. So head over there. We'll be here when you get back, and leave us a rating and a review, please.
I expand every day, don't you?
Only at the dinner table.
All right, so Barbra Streisand is hitting the news, and it's not really Broadway related, but Broadway is going crazy.
It's kind of Broadway related. The iconic Barbra Streisand, star of stage, screen, recording industry, announced yesterday that she would be going on a 9-city tour beginning in Los Angeles on August 2nd of this year. The tour will then wrap up in Toronto on August 23rd. In between, she will be hitting San Jose, Las Vegas, Chicago, Brooklyn, Boston, Washington, D.C., and Philadelphia. And she's not playing tiny theaters either. Babs is playing only major arenas all across the country. Her trip back home to Brooklyn's Barclays Center is the only two-night stop on the tour on August 11th and 13th. That's a Thursday and a Saturday. So I'm wondering how many Broadway actors will be calling out on one or both of those nights. Tickets for all of the tour stops go on sale to the general public on Wednesday, May 25th. But American Express card members in the U.S. can purchase tickets beginning tomorrow at 10 a.m. local time, wherever the concert is, and in Toronto on Thursday at 10 a.m. On the tour, Barbra will be singing all of her classics in addition to material from her new album, Encores, Movie Partners Sing Broadway. No track list or duet partners have been announced, but this is going to be Barbra's third Broadway album and the first since 1993's double platinum, chart-topping Back to Broadway. All I care about is that she does a song with Mandy Patinkin. They were in a movie together, but they didn't sing together, so they've got to do a song together. Barbra and Mandy, there is no better match made.
Not going to happen.
No?
Not going to happen.
Why not?
We should talk about other things.
Okay. that's a conversation that's going to get edited out, apparently.
So, Barclays Center is big. It's not the biggest place in the tri-state area to play, and
indoors it is. It's one of the biggest ones indoors.
Madison Square Garden, I think, is bigger.
Yeah, but I mean, they're fairly covered. I mean, they're not going to be much more than a thousand or so seat difference. And she's from Brooklyn.
Billy Joel sells out Madison Square Garden. Bruce Springsteen sells out Madison Square Garden for weeks at a time. Barbra Streisand can do easily 7 or 9 days in New York and sell every single ticket.
Yeah, I don't think it has anything to do with.
No, I'm just saying that, you know, a lot of us are going to miss out on this.
Yes. Well,
she should do the Dr. Phillips Center, shouldn't she?
The Dr. Phillips Center down here in Orlando only seats about 2,700, so I doubt that's going to happen on this tour.
Yeah, she did. I think she did big Vegas rooms for like New Year's Eve for very expensive tickets.
She did. Yeah.
All right, so along the same lines, MTC is bringing Jitney to Broadway. You think they'll play to as big crowds as that?
No, they won't. They definitely won't. But yesterday, the Manhattan Theater Club announced that they would finally be bringing August Wilson's Jitney to Broadway for the first time this winter. It'll be directed by Ruben Santiago Hudson. In Wilson's incredible American Century cycle, only Jitney has never been on Broadway until now. Set in the early 1970s, the show follows a group of men trying to eke out a living by driving unlicensed cabs, or jitneys. When the city threatens to board up the business and the boss's son returns from prison, tempers flare, potent secrets are revealed, and the fragile threads binding these people together may come undone at last. The show will begin previews at the Samuel J. Friedman Theater, not exactly the Barclays Center in terms of audience capacity, on December 28th with an opening night of January 19th. Obviously, at this point, casting, creative team, and additional information has not yet been announced, so keep an eye out for that.
So, Matt, a lot of August Wilson's plays were originally produced by Ben Mordecai, who passed away a few years back, and it seems that the August Wilson catalog is making its way through the nonprofits in New York. Also, Denzel Washington had mentioned that he's going to be producing a bunch of August Wilson's plays for HBO. Is there any word on Jitney for HBO?
Not as of yet. Not only is Denzel going to be producing the shows, he's going to be directing and starring in them as well. They're starting, obviously, first with Fences, which is probably not a surprise given Denzel's connection with the show. They're actually filming right now in Pennsylvania, in Pittsburgh. Tony Kushner is actually adapting the screenplay. But Denzel has said his goal is to produce the entire American Century cycle for film on HBO. That's a pretty audacious plan in terms of scope. He's not said that he'll star and direct in all of them, just that he wants to produce them. But that'd be an amazing collection to have done at a high quality like HBO does. We've seen HBO recently do Lady Day. All the Way is coming up soon. So this would definitely fit in with their attempts to kind of bring some great stage works, underappreciated stage works, to the screen and to wider audiences. So it would be great if they were able to do the entire American Century cycle. If not, just having Fences on film will be great. But that's not the only show that MTC announced yesterday. They also announced that Polish playwright Martynia Majak's Cost of Living will have its New York debut at New York City Center next spring. Majak was represented off-Broadway this season with Rattlestick's production of Ironbound. Cost of Living is the story of four very different people in four very different circumstances, each trying to get by. As their lives intersect, the play delves into the chasm between abundance and need and explores the space where bodies, abled and disabled, meet each other. Obie Award winner Joe Bonney directs, and the show, which is going to be presented in association with the Williamstown Theater Festival, will begin performances on April 25th, 2017, and will open on May 16th. The show will have its world premiere in Williamstown this summer from June 29th through July 10th.
Hey, Matt, what makes the world go round?
Other than the gravitational pull of the sun, I'm going to say money.
You know, you're such not the romantic. Love makes the world go round from Carnival.
Oh, no. Because money makes the world go round.
Actually, I meant the money. So tell us about the weekly grosses.
For the most part, last week's Broadway grosses were pretty steady. Some modest increases and decreases here and there. But a handful of shows saw some major bottom line declines for a bunch of different obvious to be expected reasons. Both The Lion King and Cirque du Soleil's Paramore lost performances because their theaters are being used for TV network upfronts. Paramore only played four shows last week, dropping them nearly $611,000. The Lion King only missed one show, but that cost them almost $357,000, dropping them to second behind Hamilton. One of the first times in the past few months that Lion King hasn't been first. Hamilton also saw a significant dip last week. However, their drop of $147,305 was due to their Eduham performance for New York City public school students last Wednesday. Now, there's The Color Purple, that bid farewell to their Oscar and Grammy-winning co-star Jennifer Hudson a week ago Sunday, and then welcomed in Tony winner Heather Headley. While the reports of Headley's brilliance are already making the rounds with her role of Shug Avery, the show did see a massive decline at the box office, with their grosses last week coming in at just two-thirds of what they were the week before. Now, last week, The Color Purple grossed $604,000, down from the $967,000 the week before, but it also bears mentioning that Headley was out of the show this weekend honoring a previously scheduled concert obligation, so that could have played a part in it as well, but either way, that's a pretty substantial drop from one week to the next, even if it was the last week of a major star and her replacement coming in and missing some of the shows. That's something to be concerned about with The Color Purple moving forward. Now, despite receiving only one Tony nomination, On Your Feet got back into the Million Dollar Club last week for the first time in a month and a half, with new musicals Waitress and Shuffle Along both inching closer and closer to breaking that barrier for the very first time. I'm assuming as soon as we get a few more people out of school and on vacation, those will break right through the Million Dollar mark very soon. Now, James, you know we hate doing this, but things continue to look bleak for Tuck Everlasting, which at just $326,000 only pulled in 29.3% of its gross potential, the lowest percentage amongst all the shows last week. And Eclipsed is also looking a little rough with just $291,497, the lowest gross total of the week. I would assume that because it's a play with a small ensemble, that Eclipsed will finish its run as scheduled, but you have to worry about how long Tuck can last. It's a big musical with a big cast, and as we've said before, perhaps they're going to try to wait until school's out and some families start their big city vacations, but that's a tough road to hoe when they're bringing in such a small amount every week, and that's really too bad because it's a great, great cast.
Yeah, we'll have to see what happens there. So, long-running show Chicago's got a new Billy coming to town.
They do, and I am well aware that this news will excite me probably more than most of our listeners who are not as television-dependent as I am. But yesterday, Fran and Barry Weisler announced that Jane the Virgin star Jaime Camille will take over the role of smooth-talking Billy Flynn in the Broadway production of Chicago for 5 weeks, beginning on May 31st. Camille is an international TV, film, and theater star who, for American audiences, is most likely known as the incredibly sweet, somewhat oblivious, charmingly narcissistic telenovela star Rogelio de la Vega on the CW's Jane the Virgin, one of my two or three favorite shows on TV. My Some Like It Pop co-host Jennifer McHugh has said on a number of occasions that she thinks Rogelio is the best character on TV. On stage in Mexico, he has led productions of West Side Story, Aladdin, Hook, and James, you probably remember this show. In 2005, he was supposed to make his Broadway debut with the musical Mambo Kings that never actually made it to Broadway. Later that year, he did join the Broadway show of Latina Logs as a replacement, and he starred opposite Lin-Manuel Miranda in the movie 200 Cartas. I don't know if I said that right, in 2013. He's hilarious. He's a great part of a great show in Jane the Virgin, so I'm really excited to see what he does on Broadway.
We have to see if we can find a good YouTube clip of him in his show so we can throw it into the show notes as well.
I will go down a wormhole of that very deep and get you as many clips as you want.
All right. So our good friend Robbie Rizel is continuing to be employed, isn't he?
He isn't. As I've said to him on Twitter a number of times, between him and Jen Tepper, they are the most name-checked people in theatrical podcast history. But yesterday we learned that just a little while before it actually happened, that the cast of Disaster reunited on Monday to record a cast album with Broadway Records and Robbie Rizel. The album will be released on Friday, September 9th. James, it was pretty much understood across the Broadway community that even if Disaster wasn't a huge hit in New York, that this is the type of show that would likely do incredibly well at regional and educational theaters around the country and even the world. And recording a cast album is a very big step in making that happen.
Yeah, so I'm very excited about it, that the cast is going to be able to make a recording, and it's a great way to have an afterlife of these things. We just interviewed Jennifer Simard on This Week on Broadway on Sunday, and I'm so glad these things are going to be captured. It's a very, very funny show. Speaking of Jennifer Ashley Tepper, just let me throw in for a second. She had this post on Facebook. It said, yesterday when discussing the production of Violet staged on a bus, Will Rollins, Steph Weasels, and I came up with the additional ideas. Please feel free to add your own. She wants to see Follies in a half-demolished theater, Fun Home in a funeral home, Rent in a life cafe, Big River on rafts in a river, Bridges of Madison County on a bridge, Tick, Tick, Boom in a clock, Les Mis on a barricade, High Fidelity in a record store, Waitress in a diner, Chicago in a jail, Kiss of the Spider Moon in a jail, Scottsboro's Boy in a jail, all of Candareb shows in a jail. So I just, if you're not friends with her on Facebook, go follow her on Twitter and Facebook. She's just so funny.
She's the best.
She is. So odds and ends.
Yeah, we've got a couple things coming out of the Fox upfronts as part of those upfronts. Fox chairman and CEOs Gary Newman and Dana Walden held a media conference call yesterday in which Newman said that Fox would hope to be able to make at least one, if not more, announcements about live musical events on the network in coming months. So we already know how successful they were with Grease Live. They have the Rocky Horror Picture Show coming up in October, And it looks like they're not done. So good for them. That's exciting for all theater fans. And speaking of Rocky Horror, yesterday they released the first teaser trailer for Rocky Horror Picture Show Remake. I am not a Rocky Horror diehard, as I've said before. Audience participation makes me exceptionally uncomfortable, so I try to avoid it whenever possible. But James, I'm interested to hear what the Rocky Horror sluts think of it. That is what they call themselves, right, James?
I don't know.
Okay. I think it is. I looked it up. I Googled it to make sure that I wasn't offending anybody.
So before we wrap up, we have a few other mentions of some other podcasts that have come out in the last couple of days. And we want to talk about those things just to recommend them and let other people know that they're out there and exist. Ken Davenport, who is in his second year of podcasting over at The Producer's Perspective, has... podcast episode number 72, which is the papa of Playbill, Phil Birch, who is the owner of Playbill, and it's a very interesting interview there. The Ensemblist, our good friends over at The Ensemblist, Mo and Nika, interviewed Polly Baird, who is at Phantom of the Opera. She's an understudy, and check that out. And Patrick Hines over at the Theater People podcast interviewed Carmen Cusack from Bright Star, and has a great little interview there as well. Did I leave anything out there, Matt?
Yeah, we've got a couple of them. Our friends over at Behind the Curtain podcast interviewed your friend Frank Verlizzo. Is that how you say it?
Frank Verlizzo, otherwise known as Fravor. Fravor is an art director, designer, who has designed some of the most amazing Broadway designs, logos for shows and things that, and you will know all of them as you, if you go to, I think it's fravor.com, F-R-A-V-E-R.com.
All right, that's in my feed to listen to. I'm excited to hearing that. And then our friends over at the Hamilcast, apparently they're having issues with their iTunes feed, but their latest episode is available on their website, thehamilcast.com. And this is tangentially related to podcasts, but James, last week we mentioned the project that our friends, photographer Matt Humphrey and actor, writer, director John Schwab were doing over in London, and that is their massive book of theatrical photos and interviews, Curtain Call, A Year Backstage in London Theater. If you don't remember, we talked about it. They basically went behind the scenes backstage to every major production in London that they could. It's not all of them. They said there's a few they couldn't get backstage to, but there's actually 59 different shows that happened in London in 2015 that they went and were able to take photographs backstage. James, we got our copies of the book, so thank you, John, for sending those. And it is... It is super impressive. I don't want to compare it to the Hamilton because a certain someone that I host a pop culture podcast with might fly across the country and slap me, but it is that impressive. This book is fantastic. Some of the shows that they had pictures of backstage, and they also did interviews backstage during the show, and they have some of the audio on their website. But some of those shows are now up for Tonys, like King Charles III, Interview from the Bridge, and some will be opening on Broadway in the 2016-2017 season, like Charlie and the Chocolate Factory and Photograph 51, and the great, inimitable David Suchet wrote the foreword, and it's a really remarkable look behind the scenes. I kind of wish they would be able to fly across the country or clone themselves and come do a New York version of the book as well. But this is an ongoing project for them. So if you want more information, go to their website, curtaincallonline.com. And who knows, maybe you might hear more of them on Broadway radio in the near future.
All right, Matt, why don't you get us out of here?
All right. Thanks for listening to Today on Broadway. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Broadway Radio. And you can find me on Twitter at BWW Matt and subscribe to Some Like It Pop, which I've mentioned twice in this episode, on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play.
And my name is James Marino from BroadwayRadio.com and BroadwayStars.com. Thank you so much for listening. Please remember to get out there and give us ratings on iTunes and all the other places that you get us. And we will talk to you tomorrow.